Fellow Freedom Fans, David Allen Carmichael here with Preservative Talk Radio. Not sure about my bumper. Let's see if some harmonica music kicks in here. Because it'll go bump, ba da da bump, bump, bump. Okay, do you hear that? Everybody's hearing that. Station manager is going to poke me in the eyes later because he's going to say, David, you'd never point out the flaws. Get off the phone, you dope! Yeah, they may say that kind of thing to me. But really, we'll work on that. This is our first day mixing our Preservative Talk Radio bumper into this. So we're, you know, it's a little bit of here, this and that, and all that kind of stuff. We'll see what happens here. Okay, toll-free 888-248-2046. This is a shocker. Tell your friends, family, and pastors that David Allen Carmichael is here with Preservative Talk Radio. I'm going to say things that are going to shock people. They're going to pose it, but I would challenge them. I think the important thing is to get some homework done. Do you have to obey every law? That's the question. Do you have a responsibility to obey every law? What is it biblically, constitutionally, biblically, right versus wrong? What did the founders think? What is civil law? What is municipal law? What is a revealed law? What is natural law? Do you know anything about those kind of things? Well, those who framed our nation, those who formed the Constitution of Tennessee, those people knew and understood that there's some principles of law that might just rock your boat, even biblically. It's driving on the, today, one good thing I like about my radio time is I have the opportunity to go referee some high school soccer. And I get to run out there and keep up with the second to the last defender until my heart stops. And then I get to come to my office and do radio. So it's kind of good. It keeps me younger. It will get me in heaven really quickly. But on the way back, I'm driving along on the freeway, on the interstate. And I'm observing the fact that I'm in the second to the slowest lane, so I'm in the 1-2-3rd lane out of 4. And there's a truck ahead of me going over 70 miles an hour, and I kind of pulled up to 70 miles an hour. There's people going faster than me, even in the slow lane. And it's in the city limits, in a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. Is there moral trepidation? What's that word? I'll have to look that up. Is there a moral offense? Is there an offense against the Bible? Is there an offense against the Constitution? Is there an offense against law if I'm going 70 miles an hour in a 55-mile-an-hour zone, according to the understanding of the philosophy of law in America? And what I'm doing is being extremely conservative. And I'm so conservative right now, conservatives think I'm being liberal. And it's because we have been in a very depraved society in America over the last several generations. And we've lost and forgotten the first principles. Let's be like little, 20-year-old, 18-year-old, 16-year-old, however he was at the time, Josiah, who found stuff in the temple and dusted off the books and found out, hey, there's a Bible here and we're not obeying it. That's what we need to do, folks. The number here is toll-free 888-248-2046. You don't dial 1, you may have problems. So 888-248-2046. Are we required to obey every law? And my challenge is, if you're a pastor, of course, give me a call. Explain it. But let me tell you something. I'm going to read something out of Sir William Blackstone. This was published 1766. This is what Thomas Jefferson was reading. This is what James Madison, George Mason. This is what they were reading. They said, legislators and their laws are said to compel and oblige, not that by any natural violence they so constrain a man as to render it impossible for him to act otherwise than as they direct, which is the strict sense of obligation, but because by declaring a penalty against offenders, they make it so that no man can easily choose to transgress the law by reason of the impending correction. In other words, you've got this fine facing you. Blackstone said compliance is in a high degree preferable to disobedience, and said preferable, not obligated, but preferable. And even where rewards are proposed as well as punishments threatened, the obligation of the law seems chiefly to consist in the penalty, for rewards in their nature can only persuade and allure. Nothing is compulsory but punishment. Let's see. It is held, it is true, very justly by the principle of our ethical writers that human laws are binding upon men's consequences. But if that were the only or most forcible obligation, the good only, okay, I'm just going to try to get to the point. I'm trying to get to the bottom line here of Sir William Blackstone. Okay, let's see. For otherwise a multiple looked as, but also a very, okay, here we go. This, I'm going to read it, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to translate it into English. In regard to natural duties and such offenses that are mala ense, that means bad in their very nature. Yo soy un hombre malo. It means I'm a bad man. Okay, mala ense. Here we are bound in conscience because we are bound by superior laws. But before those human laws were in being, to perform the one and abstain from the other. But in relation to those laws which enjoin only positive duties, in other words, here, those things that are civil laws like speed limits is what he's talking about, before they had speed limits, and forbid only such things as are not bad in their very nature, but just merely prohibited, a penalty to noncompliance. Now, this is what, I know it's kind of confusing. I'm trying to narrow this down, because this guy wrote this again, you know, a couple of hundred years ago. And let's see what it says. He says, in these cases, the alternative is offered to every man, either abstain from this or submit to such a penalty. Now, this is the bottom line that the founders of this nation understood about your civil laws, speed limits, for instance. Either abstain from this or submit to such a penalty, and his conscience will be clear. This is the absolute document. The things that the founders of this nation read as the authority of law and government said with regard to civil law, either abstain from this or submit to such a penalty, and his conscience will be clear, whichever side of the alternative he thinks proper to embrace. Thus, by the statutes for preserving the game, that would be your hunting and fishing, a penalty is denounced against every unqualified person that kills a hare. Now, this prohibitory law does not make the transgression a moral offense. Did you hear that? It doesn't make it a moral offense. Under the theory of law of America, if you want to be really conservative and you want to say that you're going to do things based on a constitutional, strict constitutional meaning, you have to go back and read what those founders of the nation were reading. This prohibitory law does not make the transgression a moral offense. The only obligation in conscience is to submit to the penalty if levied. Are we teaching our children that? I think the tough part is I've been brought up to say you obey that law. There it says on the sign, observe the sign. If you're not going 55 or less, you're in sin. You're in sin. So, and because of the Bible. Well, actually, the tough part is, and we're going to actually push reset on your thinking. We're going to get extreme conservatism. If you get out your King James Bible, it won't say what my New King James says. It says, yours may say, let every soul be subject to the governing power, to the powers. This says, let every soul be subject to the governing authority. Exousia it is in the Greek. We are in America. We've got an interesting culture. The president of the United States is not the lawmaker. The legislator of Tennessee and the United States, those legislatures, they make positive laws. They make things like something that God is indifferent to. There's some things that God is not indifferent to. God is not indifferent to the murder of the unborn. It is mala in se. It is, by its very nature, evil. Unqualified evil. But there are some things that the Creator is indifferent to, like what the speed limit is on the Dayton. If you're going to go to Dayton, Tennessee, I mean, should you go 55 or 45? What's the sign say? If the sign says 55... should you go 55 if it's if you've got fog in the valley? No. It's based on the principle of law is love God and love your neighbor as yourself. I will tell you, for those of us who cannot constrain ourselves and need policing, it's probably a good idea to have a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, because people like me don't have enough sense to go the right speed. And so there's a boundary there for those that need external control. Those of a sound mind who fear God and love their neighbor as themselves could probably go 58.9 or whatever the perfectly safe speed is on that road. So the principle of law that the founders understood is not everybody is, or not every positive law is really has to be observed absolutely for its because of its morality. And that's a shocker. And I'm not trying to take your mind and say, oh, start disobeying laws. But what I'm doing is I'm prepping you for a longer discussion. I'm going to be here for a while, I hope, Lord willing. And we're going to engage everything that comes up, every issue of the day, from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. You got somebody coming across your property, codes and compliance person, and you're whining, you're screaming about your rights, but you don't have a fence up. Well, step back, do your homework, and realize there's a principle even in the Bible that they're free to take dominion over your property if you're not going to do it. They're under a mandate to take dominion just like you are. Have you ever heard of those, what do they call it, hostile, I'm trying to think of the way to acquire property by just possessing it in a certain amount of time. Nobody can challenge your title to it because you've demonstrated, you've taken possession, you have exercised dominion. So what about laws of men? Is every law required to be absolutely obeyed for the sake of morality, or is it the foundation of law of Tennessee, of the United States, going back particularly, you can focus on Virginia as a very good state where they really articulated or actually talked about and actually wrote out the principles of law that this country was based on. Is it possible that there's a higher law that we're accountable to? If we go to Romans chapter 14, it talks about a higher law that we're accountable to, a motivation to do certain things a certain way because of our neighbor. But are the little positive laws, like I'll give you an example, the healthcare law. Everybody says, oh my goodness, we're going to have to obey the healthcare law. Do you? Would Sir William Blackstone, would Thomas Jefferson, would James Madison, would they say you have to obey the healthcare law if it requires you to take money and partner with the murder of the unborn? It is mala in se in the Latin. Not participating in the new healthcare law is mala prohibita in the Latin. So we go back to the foundations of American law, pay the fine, or don't pay the fine and have the moral courage to stand against something that is immoral, even if it takes going to the U.S. Supreme Court. So those are weird kind of shocker things we're going to say. Again, I'm so conservative. Those who think they're conservative are going to consider me liberal. And those who are liberal are going to think that I'm so liberal, they're going to think I'm conservative. So my goal is, again, the David Allen Carmichael, this preservative talk radio, is a little bit of shock value here, even though it's weird and challenges your brain a little bit. And we're all going to be burning calories by sitting down because our brain is going to be burning calories thinking. But I'm going to come back to this on a break, after the break, and we're actually going to talk about something that happened in Tennessee. And I'm going to read what the Tennessee Supreme Court said. And it's very moral. And you think, well, how can somebody who's violating the law, it's good for the policeman to come up and cite the person for this civil offense, this thing that is mala prohibita. It's important, it's imperative for the policeman to have the freedom to cite him for this positive law wrong. But the tough part is, folks, what we're accountable to and what our authorities, submitting to every authority, those who are in police can't exercise their power without authority, or they are violating that authority. So we're going to come back. We're going to look at what the Tennessee Supreme Court has said. David Allen Carmichael, 888-248-2046. We'll be right back.